Praise God. This is July the 24th, Sunday morning. And we're going to turn to St. John chapter 14. And we're going to read, beginning with verse 6. And this is something Jesus said. Jesus said, this is a saith the Lord. I've learned a long time ago that if Jesus said something, because he was a man on a mission. He was a man with a commissioned mission. He was commissioned by God to fulfill a mission, a purpose. And he did it with a sense of urgency. He knew what he came to do, and he did it with urgency. And every single thing that is recorded is there for a real important reason. Because the writer John, St. John, who wrote Revelation and St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he made this statement profoundly. He said, many, many other things did Jesus do, that if if everything was written down that Jesus did and said, the world itself could not contain the books. The world couldn't hold the books if everything was written down. So the things we have is so urgently important to just really think on and get a hold of. Because I think everything that we need is here. If it wasn't here, he would have made sure it was here if we needed it. So this is urgent that we have this, what we have. So he says here in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7 says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and have henceforth you know him and have seen him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We live in a society that says, if it feels good to you, then you go ahead and do it. It'll be okay. And you worship your God any way you want to, and there's no right or wrong way to worship God. You know, this just not make anybody feel uncomfortable. To say I have the way, to say I have the right way, that I know the right way and your way isn't right and my way is the right way, is so offensive to people. And you know that's not politically correct these days. You shouldn't be telling people that kind of stuff. Because everybody has got a right to think the way they want to think. Everybody's got a right to believe what they want to believe. But that's not what Jesus said. Wonder why Jesus said that. Because he wasn't very politically correct, was he, when he said that? There's something wrong with that statement. It just doesn't fit in our today's thinking, our politically correct mode. You might offend somebody saying that. I just guess I offend people. Because I'm just repeating what the Son of God said. I'm repeating what he said about himself. And I think it's so important to know that he is the way. He said this, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And if you'd known me, you would have known the Father. And they said, well, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. And then he looks at him and says, well, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you've not known the Father? You've not known me? He was that in union with God that he could actually... He was so perfectly lined up, perfectly in everything he said, everything he thought, everything he did. He basically said, I'm equal with God in all my ideas and all my ways and all of my attitudes and all my actions reflect God. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Now this is the next thing I want to throw out there. We're supposed to be like that too. We're supposed to be just like Jesus. Because he said, as he is, so are we in this world. First John makes that statement. John says, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, I looked at that verse and I said, I don't know about that. I don't think I'm like Jesus yet. I don't think I'm quite there. Are you? I don't know many that are there. But it's the goal. Something about setting a goal is so powerful. Have you ever noticed, if you'll ever sit down and take a piece of paper, just try it. Just try it. If you've never done this, it's so powerful. Write down your goals for that day. Write them down on a piece of paper. Make a list. And say, I'm going to get this done. And if you may not get it done that day, but it's something you know you have to get done at some point. Maybe that week or maybe that month. Write it down. Because what happens when you write something down? You get your physical body and your psyche involved, your subconscious involved. Everything about you gets involved in that goal. It actually sets that subconscious mind into action. And it's thinking about how to get that thing done when you're not even thinking about it consciously. You've got an unconscious factor that's going to work there. This is a fact. I mean, this is something they know. So try writing down your goals. A number one goal is to be like Jesus. And that's what this verse is about. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, I'm sure those disciples thought, yeah, I bet that, yeah, you did feed the 5,000. Yeah, I never did see you ever turn anyone away that ever came to you. Yeah, anyone that ever came to you, you never sent them away. You said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's exactly the way God would be. But see, the things about the Jewish people at that time, they had never experienced God like that. Jesus brought a different God to the Jewish nation that they had ever heard or seen before. They only knew God as Jehovah God, the judge, the one who gave him the law, the one that laid down all the rules. And if you didn't live by them rules, buddy, pow, you're going to get it. You get caught in adultery, we're going to stone you. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They did not know the mercy side of God. And Jesus came to show mankind the true heart of God. The true heart of God. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do, is to show people the heart of God. We're an example to all. We're supposed to be an example to believers. Be thou an example to the believers. One of the first things the Lord ever said to me was in Timothy. I was sitting, this really happened. I was a baby Christian and I sat down, I was drinking a cup of tea. I had just finished that cup of tea. I'm a baby Christian. And I sat down, and as I was reading in Timothy, he says, be thou, and the Holy Ghost came on me. I mean, it was just this overwhelming presence of God. And the minute he started speaking to me, ever read the Bible and just had the Holy Ghost just kind of, pow, that's just for you. That's a word just to you. It's like it's ignited. It's like it's got sparks flying off the page. It's like there's just this unction there that you know that is a word from God just to you. And all of a sudden he said, be thou an example. Be thou an example to the believer. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believer. And the minute he said that to me, that cup jumped from the table, the coffee table, and literally flew through the middle of the air. It went sailing. I mean, it's like, it was just the weirdest thing. I'd never seen anything like that happen before. Have you ever just seen a cup just jump up and just decide to take off and sail through the air and land on the other side of your room? It's not something you just see every day. But that's what happened that day when the Lord spoke to me, let no man despise thy youth. Now, I'm 22 years of age at the time when this happened to me. And all of a sudden, I realize, well, that's just the devil trying to distract me. Let's get back to the Word. And from that point on, I knew that's the devil's job, is to distract me from revelation knowledge of the Word of God. Because God wants to talk to me. He wants a relationship with me. He wants to talk to me. He wants me to know Him personally. Fellowship is so important. Time with God is essential to knowing Him. You can't marry somebody and never spend time with them and say, well, I really am married to them and I know them. I know them frontwards and backwards. Well, you never see them. How do you know them? You don't know anybody if you don't spend time with them. And that's the same thing with God. If you don't spend time with God, you will never get to know Him. Never. Has anybody seen this week, It's Supernatural? Delise was talking to me about It's Supernatural last week. They were talking about pastors that were, he was praying and the Lord, he got up to leave and he heard a voice say, don't leave me alone. The Lord spoke to, please, please don't leave me alone. Isn't that what he said to the man?
Don't leave.
Please don't leave. And I got on the internet and I said, I have to watch this guy. It was an awesome show. It's Supernatural. This man, from a young age, was hungry to find God. He said, I just got to find God. And he would take off and he'd fast and he'd go off for days and he'd seek God until he found God. Till he really found God. You can do that. I've done that. You can really find Him. He's not hiding. He's not lost. He's right there where He's always been. He's in heaven. He sits on the circle of the earth, looking down upon the inhabitants of the earth, the Word says. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is right there in heaven, and He's looking at everything going on the earth. Now, is He happy with it? No. And in Habakkuk it says, his pure eyes even behold iniquity. So I don't think God is really sitting there watching any evil movies or anything. But I know he's watching our lives, his people. And he's very aware of what's going on in the earth. But you know, Satan has a lease here. Satan has Adam's lease for a little bit longer. But it's about to run out. Now I help lease these apartments for the owner of this building. And when they sign that lease agreement, they can't walk in their apartment. That's their apartment for the lease term. And that's the way it is right now. Satan is literally the god of this world, because Adam was originally the god of this world, and he bowed down to Satan, and Satan then took over his lease. He's like, he's the subleasee of Adam's contract with the earth. And now God's hands are tied to a lot of things until the believer steps up and says, I'm a man on the earth, and I have a right here. I'm on earth. I'm a man. I'm one of Adam's descendants. And Jesus gave back to me what Adam gave away. So now a man came and got it back for us. You know, does anybody know here Jesus is a man, by the way? Everybody know that? Amen. Jesus is a man. God literally became a man and became incarnate. A man in the God in the flesh, incarnate God. He was he's a man. He wasn't just a man and died, and now he's not a man. He's still a man. Jesus is just as, let me give you a revelation if y'all don't know this, something to catch. He's just as much a man as you are, Walter, sitting right there in that chair. Jesus is just as much a man right now at the right hand of God Almighty as you are. He is. He's all man, but he's all God. And that's the part of, that's the beauty of what God did, is that he brought man into perfect union with himself through Jesus Christ. And that means you and I can have perfect union with God now through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus made this statement, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, the word says that God, that Jesus was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I don't know about you all, but I believe Jesus accomplished his mission. I know that he did. I know that he did. He really did destroy the works of the devil. He's not up there trying to destroy the devil. Every time you're crying out to him, well, let me see if I can deal with the devil for you. Let me see what I can do about the devil. Jesus has already destroyed the works of the devil. He was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Period. It's done. Satan's works have been destroyed. That means his authority over your life has been dealt with. That's a fact. I used to say to the Lord, as a baby Christian, I got some revelation on this. I used to say to the Lord, and I made this commitment to him personally. I made this commitment. Not everybody can do this, but I did this. I said, I'm not going to let the beating, the horrible beating you took by those Roman soldiers be for nothing. I'm not going to let, here's one, Lord, look here. See me? I can just see myself as a little tiny grain of sand, less than an amoeba, waving at God in the universe, the God of the universe, and saying, here's one that's not going to let that sacrifice you made for me be for nothing. Here's one that's not going to let that beating be for nothing, Lord. Here's one, I'm going to take advantage of what you've made available through your death, burial, and resurrection. Here's one, as Lord, you give me revelation, you give me light on what you did, and I'm going to take advantage of it. You give me $100 in my pocket and tell me go shopping. You see if I can't spend that $100 pretty quick. You turn me loose in a store and give me a credit card and said, here, max it out. I can do it faster than you can shake a stick. Because I love to shop. I'm a shopper. I'm a shopaholic. Now, I know men don't like to shop, but women like to shop. I can take $20. I can take $2 and shop all day. I just love to shop. I mean, not buy a thing, but I'm still shopping. Men don't understand that kind of thinking. It's kind of like crazy. But it's the truth. If God says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, I've given you all things that pertain to the kingdom of heaven, all things are yours. Over and over that statement, he makes that profound statement to me. See, I take it personal. If he says, all things, all power is committed unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16. He said, All powers committed to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. Go. That's the Great Commission. Everybody knows that's the Great Commission. Go you therefore. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be saved, and he that doesn't believe shall be damned. And everybody in the whole church community, the whole church world, has read that scripture and thought, well, we're just supposed to tell people about Jesus. And that's true. But do you understand what Jesus is? He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's all-compassing. He's an all-encompassing Jesus. He's an encompassing God who's encompassed my entire being. My health, my frame of mind, the way I think, the way I live, the way I feel, what my emotions, spirit, soul, and body. I'm a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a human body. This is just an earth suit. I physically contact things with my physical body. But if he said all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth, then he looks at the church and says, you go. You go, therefore. You go, therefore. Well, how can I do that if I don't have power? He said, I've given you my power. When he said go, that was the delegated power. That's the authority. I can give you lots and lots of scriptures on that, but I want to stay within what I wanted to share, what the Lord gave me to share this morning. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, I'm going to give you some truth. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, I was an insurance agent for 7 years, and I'm still an insurance agent. I'm still licensed with the state of Kentucky to sell life and health insurance. And when I first started in that career, I jumped out of dentistry. I was in dentistry for 20 years, and I decided I'm going to go out on my own and on my own business. And I knew I had to learn a whole new way of thinking, a whole new business, a whole new way of life. I had to retrain myself. And actually, I had to do it myself, you know. I didn't have mommy and daddy anymore making me go to school. I had to decide to do this, and I had to put the old, you know, like going back to school. Now I'm in my 40s. And it's like, gosh, that's so hard. But you know what the thing I found out about going and learning something new and taking on a new profession, and actually when you really see the benefit of it, and I knew that I'd be able to make money, and I'd be able to have my own business, and I would be independent of anybody else anymore. I wouldn't have to wait on that raise. I worked for doctors that didn't want to pay me more than $3 an hour. That's all I'd make, $3 an hour, work like a dog. But I'm going to tell you something. When you seek God, he can teach you and show you how to be the very best you can be and get all of the best out of life that you can get. He wants you the head and not the tail. In fact, there's one scripture that says, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you above and not beneath. When you realize that God is out on your side to make you the very best you can possibly be, then you'll get in this word and you'll study it day and night. Because he promised if you did, you would make your way prosperous and you'd find good success. Now, why would you not study something that had that kind of promise attached to it? Why would you not spend some time in that word? If he promised, I'll make your way prosperous. I'll make you have good success. But you got to meditate therein day and night. Now, that's the criteria. You got to do that. So anyway, I got in those books and I ordered those books and I paid like $230. I went to a whole week of class in insurance, School of Insurance, Commonwealth Schools of Insurance. And I began to go to these classes and I had to take a test. And then I had to go to Frankfurt and I had to pass a big test and failed it. Had to take it like three times. I think I passed it the third time. I think it's the only times they give you three chances and you sit for a while. But I finally passed it. And you know the funny thing, I was there when this guy took this PNC class and test, took the PNC test, and this guy must have failed it two or three times. This is his third time too. He come out of there with and you don't know if you've passed the test to be able to go and start selling insurance or not until you walk out of the class. It's a very controlled class. It's in like a little cubicle controlled space. You come out and it's all computerized, and the secretary at the desk, you're standing there like on pins and needles. You're wondering, did I pass? Did I pass? Well, this guy, he passed. Must have been, like I said, his third time. Because after that, if you don't pass that third time, you've got to go wait another 3 months. And I don't remember the whole deal. I don't remember the whole deal about it. But he comes out of there, and he grabbed that. They said, she said, you passed. You would have thought he won a $1 million lottery. He began to jumping up and down and screaming and hollering, grabbed this girl, kissed her. And I mean, I'm like, what's the name of that show? Price is Right? It's like, you would have thought he was on the Price is Right. Now, the reason I'm making that point, if people can get so excited about something like that, that's going to make life better for them. And the insurance has made life better for me. You know, it got me independent, got my independence. I didn't have to punch a time clock anymore. I went to work for myself, and I began to make money. I made a lot of money. I've made a lot of money in insurance. I've gained the trust of people. I've had people write me checks for as much as $30,000 like it was nothing. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, this ain't nothing. Well, it really was something at the time, but I'm trying to be cool, you know. I'm thinking, wow, this is power. This is responsibility. Talking about responsibility, this is an awesome place to live. And you begin to realize God is elevating me. God has brought me into something I've never done before. It's a whole new way of life. And that's what insurance did for me. The insurance education I gained, and this is a natural worldly thing. How much more will something like just reading the Word, studying the Word of God, can elevate you into a place beyond anything you have ever experienced, beyond anything you've ever delved into. I mean, I can promise you, spending time in this Word will change your entire life. Change your whole life. The Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning and said you were coming. And I said, well, they ain't coming. He's got to work. He had to work last night. The Lord told me you were coming. Hi, Sarah. I've been talking about her this morning. She's the one that said it's responsibility. So I got into a whole new career and a whole new way of life. But it was not easy. It was something I had to set my goal to do. I had to make it a priority that I'm going to start a whole new life, a whole new career, and I'm going to make money and I'm going to be successful in it. I didn't start this to not be successful. You understand? And so the same thing is being a Christian. When you give your heart to Jesus and you say, okay, I'm gonna give it my best shot. Well, you forget it. Then you might as well just forget it if you're just gonna give it your best shot. Because that's not the right way. That you cannot go into serving God thinking, well, I'm going to try it. And if it doesn't work, well, I'll just bail out. That is not the option. When you get into seeking God and living for God, it's not something you just try. You can't just try this. No more could I just not ever be an insurance agent again. I'm an insurance agent. And I'll be an insurance agent till the day I die. I'm a believer, and I'll be a believer till the day I die. Because it's a way of life to me. It's my lifestyle. And He is my way, He is my truth, and He is my life. It's just the way it is. I have resigned to the fact that He really is the way. Now let me tell you why I brought all this out about the insurance thing. There is an insurance commissioner's office. You might think of him as the czar of insurance in the state of Kentucky. Then there's an insurance... Then you know, you've got governments and you've got laws that regulate all the different states. So if I go out of the state of Kentucky and sell insurance, I got to understand the laws are all different for all the different states. So, but in Kentucky, I have to understand that I have got somebody watching over me and what I do. There's things I cannot do and there's things that I can do. And I had to learn those things. What can I do and what can I not do? And I have to abide by them to be successful, or they can take my license away from me. Quickly, and they will. So the same thing is true. If we're going to serve God, we better know what the rules are that govern our servant as a servant to God. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. I mean, you just can't go out here and do whatever you want and think that you're going to find your way, make your way prosperous, and have good success. It just isn't going to work. It wouldn't work in the insurance field or any field that is regulated. So we've got some regulations and we've got some things to learn. Now, can you imagine sitting down and reading a book about this thick, all about insurance, and just loving it? I'm going to tell you what, that's the way it was with me. That's exactly how it was with me. And I thought, man, I love this stuff. I'm eating it like candy. I'm sitting down, I'm reading all about the regulations, about rebating, about, you know, fiduciary responsibility. And I'm reading about all the different things about insurance. And I'm loving it. I'm learning a whole new language, a whole new way to think, a whole new way of living, a whole new way to make money, rules and regulations that I can live by and make money and pay my bills and just exist. Now, I'm bringing it down to home here in a minute. But I had to study to know the ins and the outs before I could ever get out there in front of somebody and sell an insurance policy. I'll never forget the first time I was ever in somebody's home. My knees were knocking so bad. They literally were shaking because it was my first time in front of a client and I'm trying to explain and they're asking me all these questions and I got to know all these because I'm the professional, right? I know all the answers. And I didn't know all the answers. I'm still learning. I'm still in a, there's a learning curve yet. But after about 3 or 4 years of seeking and reading and studying, and I'm telling y'all, I would read books and books and books of stuff. But I loved it. I absolutely loved insurance. Now that's a little out there, isn't it? I know y'all just looking at me like, well, let me tell you. You see this Bible right here? I love it. I absolutely love this Bible. You know why I love this Bible so much? Because it has taught me all the rules of the kingdom of God. It's taught me the regulations of the kingdom of God. It's taught me all the ins and the outs of the kingdom of heaven. It's taught me how to make my way prosperous, how to have good success. And if you do the same thing all the time, it always works. It always works. Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you'll be amazed at how many times Jesus dealt with the devil. He dealt with the devil in the Pharisees. He dealt with the devil in the lame. He dealt with the devil in the blind. He dealt with the devil every time he turned around. Jesus is casting out some devil. Out of somebody or something. At one time he casted so many devils out, they ran into the swine and the swine didn't want to live anymore. And they all just run and died. They just committed suicide. They couldn't stand the torment of the devil. I'm telling y'all, you start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see how many times Jesus dealt with devils, then you'll figure out, maybe I better learn how to deal with some devils too. Maybe I better read the Word and learn how to deal with some devils in myself. Jesus said, I'm the only way. I'm the only truth, and I'm the only life you'll ever have to live with. You have to live with no devil. You have to live with no tormenting spirit. You don't have to live with depression. You don't have to live with fear. That's the biggie. Fear is the one thing that you do not ever, ever agree with. Ever. I just refuse to agree with fear. I refuse to agree with the devil. I have fallen out of agreement with the devil. That's what the Word of God will do for you. It'll make you think differently. It'll take you to a different place of thinking. Because then you'll start thinking like him, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. It's not in a man's ways to know what's right and wrong. It's not in us inherently to know. That's why you don't have to teach children to be bad. You have to teach them to be good. We're the same way. We have to know the way. I want to take us to that 1 Timothy. I started to read it. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now I want to read it in the Amplified because I think this brings it even a better revelation understanding to us. God did not give me, therefore I don't have to have it. If God didn't give it to me, you just mark this down. If God did not say you had to have it, you don't have to have it. If God said I didn't give it to you, then you don't have to take it. If God said this is what I gave you, then you can take it and you can keep it. Whatever God gave you, you keep it. And I mean, you sometimes got to really keep it. If somebody come to your house and tried to steal your TV, I'll guarantee you, you would fight them over it. Or would you be nicey pie and say, oh, you can have that TV. Or you can have my couch while you're at it. How about that lamp? How about that rug? Well, you want to clean out my refrigerator too? No, you wouldn't do that. You would fight for what belongs to you. So this is what God said belonged to me. And I remember telling the Lord, whatever, Lord, you say is mine, I will take it. I will not let what you did be for nothing. I won't let that stripes you took and that beating you took be for nothing. I will not let your sacrifice on that cross for me be for nothing. I'm going to take full advantage of everything you said was mine. Period. Amen. Period. Now you talk about, it was like I waged war against the devil himself. And I did. I really did. Because he's listening. And he said, all right, let's see this. Let's see how this works. Let's see if you really are serious about what you believe. Because I do believe the Word of God. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And you're not going to let, you know, by the stripes of Jesus be for nothing? Well, I mean, I'm telling you what, my kids were sick every day. I got sick. The kids were sick. When Brian was six weeks old, first thing, he was 6 weeks old when I became a Christian. But at 6 months old, I take him for his checkup, and they tell me his whole entire hip is out of socket, that he has got to be put in a brace and a cast, and that he would never walk until that was fixed. And he was, even showed me popping out of joint. Showed me his little hip going pop, pop, making a noise. He said, he can never walk like this. You're going to have to put him in a cast. Well, you know what Teresa did? I'm not going to let that by the stripes be for nothing. So I take him to church that believed in by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, and they prayed for him. And God healed that boy, healed that baby. It's a miracle. My third daughter was born with a club foot. God healed that club foot. She's got the finest set of 12s you ever seen. I mean, this girl wears a size 12 or 11 in a man's tent Nike. That's a big foot for a girl. But it's not club anymore. It was like this. I could go on and on about the things I've seen God do because I decided He was the way, He was the truth, and He was the life. And He wasn't just going to be conveniently the way, the truth, and the life. Just when I decided He was the way, the truth, and the life, He's the way, the truth, and life all the time. And he's just as much a man now as he was when he walked on this earth. He's touched with the feeling of my infirmities right now. He said, we have an advocate with the Father, that if anyone sins, he will help. He makes intercession for me. We have an advocate with the Father. He said, anyone that would come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. In another place in John 1:9, he says, if you'll confess your sins, John 1:9, 1 John 1:9, if you will confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The good news about Jesus is he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He doesn't die. He said, I'm he that was dead, but behold, I'm alive and I live forevermore. Because I live, you shall live also if you believe. It's all about believing his word. That's why I'm saying, you know, you want to know the way, the truth, and the life, and how to make your way prosperous and have good success? Joshua 1:8, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then you will find, you will make your way prosperous. You will find good success. We got to do our part. I would have never passed that insurance test and never become an insurance agent and learned the rules and the regulations of insurance and become successful if I had not studied to show myself approved. Period. And that was the goal. I will be successful. I will be an insurance agent. It seemed like I was learning a whole different concept. It was like going to a foreign country and learning a whole new language. And that's the way it is with the kingdom of heaven. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, did I ever read that in the Amplified, Timothy? I didn't, did I? Let me read that real quick in Timothy, 2 Timothy, because it is such a powerful verse. I found it and I got sidetracked there. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Amplified says this. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, of craven and cringing, and fawning fear. He didn't give me that. He didn't give me a spirit of cowardiceness, timidity, cringing, and fawning fear. But look what he's given me. He's given me a spirit of power and love and a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and control. Isn't that powerful? That's what I have. That's what I have. Then how come I don't have control? How come I don't have discipline? It was years and years of seeking and studying and praying and crying and begging and beating my head against the wall and beating myself up and just hating myself and just feeling like such a failure every time I turned around. God, I'm just such a mess. How do I ever walk in this type of power? When am I ever going to get to the place where I am fit for the Master's use? When am I ever going to get to where I'm supposed to be? Amen. How can I ever get? I just can't see it. It's like way off. I can't ever. It's impossible. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. You can master. You hang out with the master. How many of y'all seen the Kung Fu shows? They take this kid that don't know nothing. The kid knows nothing about Kung Fu. And he trains with the master. And next thing you know, he's got that kid standing on a pin. Got him kicking clear to the sky. Fearless. Trained. Powerful. That's what God will do for you. You hang with him. You let the master teach you the way, the truth, and the life. And you'll be just like that. And you'll be fearless. No timidity. You'll be a warrior. That's the goal. Believe me, I had to go back and look at the goal. Many, many times I want to throw up my hands and say, I can never do this. I can never be good enough, God. He said, it ain't about you being good enough. I'm the one good enough. It's my goodness. It's going to work through you. It's my love that's working through you. It's my kindness. It's my love. It's my grace. You just allow your human spirit to receive me. Make more room for me. Get you out of the way and more of me. Isn't this wonderful to know that it's possible to be like Jesus in the earth, the way, the truth, and the life? And be successful at it. He wants us to be successful believers. A believer believes. A believer believes. It's as simple as that. We make serving God so difficult. But I'm going to share with you a few more things before I close. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. I remember my family used to say, my mom used to say, and different ones used to say, well, who do you think you are? Because what I would do is I was just like a little kid whose mommy or daddy told him something, and I'd go tell somebody else, this is the way it is. Well, who do you think you are? Well, that's what they said. And I would say, well, that's what Jesus said. I'm just acting like Jesus. Well, who do you think you are? Well, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Is he really? What about this? And what about Buddha? And what about this? What about Allah? What about all these other religions? Well, I'm sorry. They're not the way, the truth, and the life. Well, who do you think you are? That's not politically correct, you know. And people won't like that kind of a stand for God, His Word, the way, the truth, and the life. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to start with verse 11. And I'm going to jump back up to verse 9, but I want to start with verse 11 real quick here. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Now that's a question. Now I want to read it in the Amplified. For what man perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Now we're all sitting in this room. I cannot understand or know what you're thinking, Reggie. I cannot understand. I don't know, just by looking at you, I cannot look into your eyes and figure out, wonder what she's thinking. I wonder what's on her mind. Let me see if I can look into your eyes long enough and maybe figure it out. Transcendental meditation or something. Or ESP. See, it's not in us to know what each one of us is thinking. It's just not in us to know what's in your mind. God didn't make us to where we can see into people's minds and understand and perceive all their thoughts. You know, I just don't. Now, the Holy Spirit can help you understand and perceive something, but I'm talking, it's just not a natural way of communicating. I can look at your face and kind of think, he's not real happy, or he's got a big smile and he's happy. I mean, I can kind of read it, but I still don't know your thoughts. I don't know what's in your heart. I just can't communicate like that. You know how we communicate? You know how I can get to know you? There's something in our mouth called a tongue. And that tongue has the ability to create a sound. And that sound can create a word. And that word can be received by another human being's eardrums and can be put into their brain. And the brain can decipher that this means a certain thing. And it brings a revelation to that mind. And a picture comes to that mind. And then it's a clear picture of what you're thinking. That's how I can know what's on your mind. Through something you say to me. Words. But you have to speak them first before I can ever hear them. And then my brain begins to assimilate the meaning of it. And you better speak my language, because if you speak something I don't understand, French or something, or Spanish, forget it. I still ain't going to know what you're thinking. But if you want me to know what you're thinking, you will speak a word to me. And then I can begin to get a picture in my brain. You know, we really do see pictures in our minds. And we then we relate them to things that we understand. Now, I've said this for a powerful reason. God said this right here. He said this for us to understand this. Get ready, because this is coming at you. He said, for what person perceives or knows or understands or what passes through another man's mind or his thoughts? And then he says this, he says in verse 11, goes on and says, even so, just like that, just the same way, you can't understand what somebody's thinking. It's verse 11 of chapter 2. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's a powerful revelation if you'll get it and catch this. That it takes the Spirit of God for you to understand what God is thinking. See, God is thinking just like God has got thoughts. God has got things on his mind. And he's basically got things on his mind about me. That's what I'm interested in. I mean, I'm glad God's thinking about you, but I kind of like to know what he's thinking about me first. You know, we all love each other, but I really like me better. And that's good. It's nothing wrong with me liking me better than I like you. Because you know why? Because if I don't like me first, I can never like you. He says you got to love others as you love yourself. As you care about yourself, how you treat yourself, how you carry yourself, how you protect yourself is a clue to how much you care about other people. If you don't care about yourself, you ain't gonna care about others either. I care about me. I care about my health. I care about the way I think. I care about my emotional health and well-being. I care about everything about me. And you know what? He does too. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and your neighbor as yourself. This is it. You're in the middle of both of those. So you better get yourself well. If you got a poor self-image, better fix it. You don't like yourself, you better fix it. If you think you're a failure, you better fix it. Because you'll never love God and never love others until you fix you. That's a fact. That's a fact. Fix you. And how do you fix you? By understanding his thoughts. Because you can't understand God without understanding his thinking. You can't understand another man. How are you going to think about how you going to understand God if you don't know what he's thinking? But he gave you how to think like him and how to get his thoughts in you through the Spirit. Because this is what else he says. It's such an awesome word. Even so, the things of God, which is what we're after, The things of God are what's going to change us. The things of God is what's going to give us revelation. They're freely given to us. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received. Now we have received. Wow. Now we have received. That's me. Now we have received. Now we have received. You've got to say that. I've received the Spirit of God. Now if you're still out there trying to figure out how do I do that, then you haven't received Him. When you know you've received the Spirit of God, you know it. Now I've received the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God living in me. I have received. Now, right now, I have the Spirit of God in me. Isn't that good news? Now if you've received the Spirit of God, now you can know the thoughts of God. That's as simple as it is. If you're still trying to find God and try to figure God out, you haven't received the Spirit of God, because He said you can know what He's thinking. And it's through the Spirit that you know. Just like if you want to communicate to me, or you want to communicate a thought, you got to speak a word. Do you know God's also got to speak a word to you for you to know what He thinks, and you know what it is? Guess what it is? The Word of God. That's what He gave man. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote what God told them to write. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it is.
But it gets better. It's getting better because I've received the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Period. And I say, oh, thank you for that. Whew. I thought I was in the dark for a while. Man, I thought I was lost. I thought I'd started on a journey that had no end. Now I see the light at the end of the tunnel, God. You said you've given me freely the things that I can know your thoughts and know the things of God. Whew. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, the revelation came to me one day. I'm not out here trying to beat the air. I'm not out here trying to make just get by any way I can. I can know God. I can know the way, the truth, and the life. I can know how to pray effectively. I know how to move mountains. I know how to speak to mountains. I can know whatever He wants me to know. I can know it. Because I've received the Spirit of God. And that's how He communicates with me. That's how I can know His thoughts. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you shall find me when you shall have searched for me with all of your heart.
Yes.
But if I hadn't read those words in His Word, I would have never known that I could have all that. Everything you read in the Word, and you can find it, it's yours. If you can hear it from God and receive it as a communication from His thoughts, that's what He's thinking, you can have it. Now you have received the Spirit of God. You've received it. But see, it's just like anything. You have a right to receive or not receive. It's kind of like Christmas all the time with Jesus. He brings me a package, and I can either say, yeah, I think I'll take that. And I open it up and I say, thank you. That is a wonderful gift. Didn't pay nothing for it. You paid for it. But I had to receive it. But if you try to give me something, oh, no, I'm not good enough. No, you keep that. No, you give it to somebody else more worthy. I won't. Then you'll never have it. It'll never be yours. But I'm just like a kid in a candy store. You're going to give me something, I'm going to take it. Just, I want that. I think I'll take that. Give me about half a dozen of that. Do y'all get anything out of this?
Amen.
I know you just love me to say that.
Praise God.
I just have to hear that, you know. Just please let me know.
Amen.
Are you ready for a few more things? Just a few more. Because this is not everything I had that I feel like God really, really wants me to share. Because this is even more important when you get revelation of this. Go with me to Isaiah 55:9. Isaiah 55:9. It's such a process, but it's a process that never fails. Never fails. 55:9. Or 55:8, I'm sorry. 55:8. 55:8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm talking about God. Isaiah 55:8 and 9. Here's one of those things you just know. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Just mark that down right now. Because then you'll never figure him out. How many times have I tried to figure out, God, how are you going to work this mess out? How are you going to do this? I'm homeless. I got kids. I'm looking at spider webs. I'm in a cellar and I'm praying. I'm thinking, man, I'm in a town I've never even knew existed. And I'm in somebody's cellar. And I'm homeless. How did I get here? Just 2 years ago, I had my own house and owned a land and owned a house and totally different life. Well, how did I get here? You'll find yourself maybe sometimes in situations you'll think, how did this happen? Amen. But it's, you've got to trust him that he knows the way out. I don't care what situation you get. Sometimes we get ourselves in our own messes. So we go to God. You're the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, I need some way, truth, and life here. I got to have some way, some truth, and some life. Because my life's a mess. My way, my truth, and my life hadn't worked out. But so let's get God involved. Let's get his way, his truth, his life. And so you go to God and you say, okay, this is what I want you to understand. First thing he'll say to you is my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. We always want to bring God down. Religion will always bring God down on your level. You know religion does that? Religion will always try to figure out God. And try to figure out why it didn't work. Why did this person die and this one live? Well, let's try to figure all that out. Well, you can't figure God out. His ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. And then he says this. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. That's pretty high. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Now let's go back to what I established about a man communicating with another man. And if you don't open your mouth and speak words to me, I cannot know what you're thinking. And you've got to hear from God the same way. So how am I going to comprehend, God, what you're saying to me if your ways are so much higher than my ways and your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts? How can I ever get it? How am I ever going to get to that level of understanding? How? Through the human spirit. Your human spirit is not your head. It's not your reasoning faculties. Your human spirit is really a spirit. You're 1,000 times bigger on the inside than capacity. Now, when this was written, there was no such thing as a hard drive. Computers hadn't been created 2,000 years ago. Really, just recently in the last century, or last decade or two, have we even understood how we can put on a computer chip mega, mega information on just a tiny little chip. I'm telling you, in your human spirit, the capacity to know God is there. The capacity in your human spirit is there to know and think like God. It's there. Just know that. He would not have told you that you could have his mind. He did not tell you that you could know him, his way, his truth, his life. He did not make that available to us to know. Capacity. Okay? Now, I had to establish that. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Or was it 1 Corinthians? Go back to 1 Corinthians. Where were we a minute ago? Oh, 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. I've got another verse I want to show you. 1 Corinthians. And I'm getting ready to close. And let's look at verse 12 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Isn't this exciting? I just think this is exciting. Verse 12 says, now we have received, I read this a minute ago, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In the Amplified it says, now we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed upon us. by God. Whew. That's the goal. That's what I want. Let me get to that point, God, so I can know you. That I can know you. That I might know you. Paul said that in Philippians, he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Now go with me. Stay in 1 Corinthians and flip over to chapter 3.